Blog Talk Radio.
Hey out there, thanks for listening in. You're listening to Ready Set Sports. I'm one of your hosts, SG, your sports girl, calling from California. Hoping you're out there listening. And with me is Al X. Hopefully he's on. We'll hear in a second. Coming to you today talking about sports. The big focus, obviously, is going to be the big day tomorrow. Let's see if we have our host, Al X, with us. Are you out there, Al? I think so. It looks like that's when we add you in here.
All right. Well, all right.
There we go.
There we go.
Well, let's get into it.
Well, let's get into it.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, everyone.
If you're listening further, And like she said, I am Alex,
the other side of the sports show.
And one of the biggest things of the year, probably, is the Super Bowl.
Big day. Tomorrow. I'm very excited. Aside from the Super Bowl party, it is a big game for those of you that don't tune in for the commercial. So, what kind of food am I going to eat?
First and foremost.
The finger foods.
You get pretty crazy. There are a lot of recipes going out right now if you're into that. But second biggest thing is just seeing a good game overall. I'm not really rooting against. Just really want to see a good game. Don't really want to see a blowout. Maybe something that goes fourth quarter. The last few, something big. The rest of them have to call something, but a big play happens, and we see a crazy result.
Let's not hope for that. I don't want to see a blowout either. I'm not a fan. I think most of the country is going to be against the Patriots.
Yes.
So it'll be fun to watch. I'm really looking for the comparisons between David and Wyatt and Max tomorrow.
Is that how you see it?
If you look at just the team ratings and how they've been in playoffs, it looks that way. If you look at how they play the season, I think they're very well matched. But it's hard to deny some of these statistics. Let me see if I can find one just offhand. I was reading them this morning. But for starters, Bill Belichick has only had three losses to coaches that he's never faced before. And he never faced the Falcons coach before, and so tomorrow.
Right.
I believe he's 23-3 with his record against coaches. So that's going to be hard. I mean, the Falcons coach has only been to the Super Bowl four times.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, Coach Dan Quinn being a new coach and all, and what he'll be able to do. With it being such a big game for him as being the head coach, not just one of the coaches. So that's an interesting angle to everything. Cause we already know Bill Belichick, he pretty much is the same guy, regardless of what game it is. You know, they're game planning hard for every game, and it changes, and you have to be ready and prepared for that because they are trying to find every way to win that game. So when you look at that way, yeah, but I'm liking Atlanta's offense a little bit more than New England, especially how Matt Ryan, I feel, this year was able to turn a corner that I think that he's always had to turn, because he's always had to do regular season, but it's always something in the playoffs that he hasn't been able to. So what's withstand the pressure? And it looks like he's doing it now. So he's in the Super Bowl. They look good. And he has Julio Jones. And when those two are on the field together, great things can happen. He's a beast.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the numbers here, and Matt Ryan is throwing for almost 5,000 yards compared to Tom Brady's 3,500. But you have to take into consideration with Tom Brady that he missed those first four games. So there's a question mark on what on it could be. He also has 28 touchdowns, Tom Brady, and Matt Ryan has 38 with a 4,900 yards. So, you know, they get the ball out. Julio Jones, he has almost 1,400 yards with six touchdowns, I'm sorry. But then the closest person after that is Edelman. He has 1,100, three touchdowns. Martellus Bennett has seven touchdowns, but he only has 700 yards receiving and 55 receptions. So they haven't really been utilizing him, I think. I think that was a big thing to me they were missing. And with Gronkowski not playing in the Super Bowl, you would think that they would go to him. Like maybe didn't use him in the season as much to take advantage of him here if they got here in this position. So pretty excited. Pretty excited all over the top, but he is a good player. And, you know, who's going to stop Julio Jones? I mean, that's the biggest question.
Is anybody going to be able to stop him? Is going to be the question. Yeah. Let's see. Who's another? Do you think he's going to be the biggest time maker in the Super Bowl, Julio Jones?
I don't think so. That being said, because Belichick is going to have his side, and I would think that they would try to stop him and make somebody else beat them. I think it's going to come down to the two running backs. And if I would have to pick, I would say Devontae Freeman, the starter, it should be the guy. You know, in a game like this, you want to utilize the running game as possible, and hopefully that is contributing and producing for you. He finished the season with, almost 1,100 yards, 11 touchdowns, almost five yards a carry. So that's what you probably want to lean on early, because I would think stopping Julio Jones in the beginning and not letting them get off of that right away is going to be the priority. And then you have Tevin Campbell, the other running back behind him. That's just as good, but a different style of runner, more power and downfield. They have that weapon. That may be the key. Matt Ryan turning his corner. He's had that weapon before, but maybe these style of players in his game is what it took. But I don't know. Everything sounds good right now, right?
It always sounds good the day before.
You should have to play
now,
that game.
Here's my next question. Is this going to be a running back game? Do we think that it's going to be a big competition between the quarterbacks? You have Tom Brady in the game who is conversationally one of the, even though I don't want to say this, one of the better quarterbacks who have played the game. I mean, he's up there to break records in the Super Bowl. He's when he could go do arguably the best quarterback. He's going to have more rings and more MVPs than even Joe Montana. So is Matt Ryan going to be able to hold his own or even surpass and come out on top of the win? Or is Tom Brady just that good that it's not even a question?
Well, you know, Tom Brady's a good, you know, you have to just say it. He's shown it time and time again, especially this season with missing the first four and what he's been able to do and the numbers he's been able to put up. And he's been that mainstay in New England this whole time. He's just had pieces put in place. You know, there's always a question, is it Tom Brady or is it Belichick? Well, yeah, you know, in some circles, they want to give it to Tom Brady. It's hard to deny the fact because he has been that guy. Belichick has been able to put guys in place, but Brady is the guy that makes it happen. He throws the ball, he gets it to the guy, no matter who it is, and they keep winning. So when you look at the numbers, I'm looking at the defense here, and points per game, the Patriots only give up 15.6. The Falcons give up 25.4. It's a big difference. Then you look at the offense, points per game. The Falcons score 33, almost 34, to the Patriots 27, almost 28. So the Patriots only give up 15. Can they stop the Falcons from getting 33, almost half of what they score? That's going to be an interesting fact because I don't see that happen. I see it more of a close game. They're able to do both teams are able to do something, but not a lot. It's going to be spurts of action from both. See some long drives, but the defense comes up and stops them. The Falcons have a young defense. And Dan Quinn is a heck of a defensive-minded coach. So he's going to have his guys ready for whatever they think. And having dropped out, I think that just helps with that, of what they have to be able to control. It does come down to those both wings. Because if one is falling off, the fact that the other is going to be there and doing what they've been able to do the full season is going to be that deciding factor that happens. But I just don't see either quarterback falling off in this game and making too many errors and too many turnovers. I think this comes down to an error by maybe a fumble by a running back, a tip pass, because that's uncontrollable. I just don't see these two quarterbacks, given how, you know, their skill level and what they've been able to do over in their careers, especially this season, being that deciding factor.
That makes sense. It's going to be an interesting game. Even all the articles that I'm reading are all pretty much saying it's such a close call because there's no number one unit on either team that makes this a blowout on either side. There's no number one defensive or offense for the Falcons or the Patriots.
No. You know, the numbers are so close together that it just feels like it's going to be a close game. Teams look like they might get in the end, but the defense might stop them. And LeGarrette Blount is a good running back. We haven't even talked about him to the Patriots. If he's able to get off, he had 1,160 yards a season. If he's able to get off, that bodes trouble as well. Because then they have Deion Lewis, who's a scat back. And he has 4.4 yards a carry. So that is an interesting thing. LeGarrette Blount has 18 touchdowns. So they use him a lot. But like I said, I think Dan Quinn, given that defensive mind, he knows that the running game is what can kill a defensive plan real quick. So stopping that key, especially with Gronk out.
I keep forgetting Gronk's not going to be there. That's going to be hard for the Patriots. That's a role, but he's been hurt so much this year, too, and they've still
been able to do it.
They have Brady, who's missed 4 games at the beginning because of his suspension, and Gronk's been in and out because of injury. So, do they have any other big players that are out with an injury, or is it just Gronk?
What I have here, I just see Gronk being
injured now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we're gonna cut to a commercial real quick while we grab some more stats for you guys and get back to some more Super Bowl talk. What do you say?
All right, let's do it.
All right, folks, we'll be right back.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Body and Soul Awareness is a radio show geared towards anyone ready to reconnect with their true selves and get back into balance. Spend 90 minutes with us, Stephanie and Oksana, business owners and friends who are eager to discuss the importance of taking responsibility of your own well-being. We are two ladies on a mission to be the best possible. Body and Soul Awareness is a radio show geared towards anyone ready to reconnect with their true selves and get back into balance. Spend 90 minutes with us, Stephanie and Oksana, business owners and friends who are eager to discuss the importance of taking responsibility of your own well-being. We are two ladies on a mission to be the best possible version of ourselves while helping others to do the same. We will share our own life experiences and practical knowledge of how to take responsibility of your own well-being by implementing lasting lifestyle changes.
Yes, there are lots of toxins out there. Yes, there are lots of bad things going on in the world, and even people with bad intentions. But no, we are not here to talk about that. We're here to help you to discover positive lifestyle changes to help you navigate through ingeniously designed chaos. Join us and our guest speakers while we discuss topics like natural living, nutrition, skincare, healing arts, consciousness, meditation, self-awareness, spirituality, herbalism, body energy, movement, and more.
Join us live every Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on FreedomizerRadio.com.
And enjoyed living along the Blue Ridge Mountains of Appalachia, both places where Mother Nature rules and shoes are optional.
Now living in the 9th largest metropolitan area in the United States, I'm surprised that more people don't realize that their health would improve if they just took off their shoes and relaxed. Yes, even in the middle of downtown. Bunions, hammer toes, atrophied pinkies, fungus issues, weak structure. All these foot problems caused by shoes are simply due to the fact that people don't know that being barefoot is not just the natural, comfortable solution, it's legal. That's right, Freedomizers. We at BarefootIsLegal.org host a weekly radio show where we discuss the many health benefits and zero laws concerning going barefoot. Join Nicola, Kiliki Claybaugh, Patty Peaceful, and yours truly, Katmere Stone, every Saturday starting at 10:30 a.m. Pacific, 1:30 p.m. Eastern for Barefoot is Legal Radio. Hashtag Freedomizer Radio, hashtag Shoes Ruined My Feet, hashtag BarefootIsLegal.org.
Play on, play it. Play on, play it. Yo, drink, drop, reverse.
I like the way you grow with no pesticides. I got to box it up.
Box it up, yeah.
I like the way you grow with so locally. I got to box it up. I like the way you grow with no GMOs. I like the way you twerk it.
No diggity.
No doubt.
We've got squash and peas, calling it a pack for all your bees. Melons you wanna squeeze? Yes, please. Yes, please.
Hey, now that plant looks good.
I wanna grow it. I wanna taste it.
Search YouTube for Freaks of the Garden, peacefulbelly.com. Support your local organic farmer.
Hey, welcome back, folks. I am Alex. Here with SG. This is Ready Set Sports. And we're going to finish up our coverage of this Super Bowl. If you're a sports fan, you know, you've seen everything. You've seen the talk shows talk about it. You've seen NFL sports show talk about it. So we don't want to, you know, give you too much more. But we, you know, we have our two cents that we want to give you in our opinion. And so here it is. And like we said, you know, we both think it's going to be a close game. I just think Atlanta Falcons offense is too much of a force for New England's defense in that 15 points that they're only giving up. It's going to stay that. It's going to remain. They might not get 33, but they're definitely going to get more than 15, in my opinion. What do you think about that, SJ?
I agree. I mean, I think it's going to be a close game, but if we're looking at these two offenses being the factor, I can't see it being too low of a game on either side. And, man, Julio Jones has been looking nice for the Falcons. So they've had a couple of nice players. So it's hard to see it being a 15-21 game or, you know what I mean? That's just, I don't see that happening. So there's too much on the line, especially for both teams. Brady doesn't want to go out, especially knowing you have all these, you could say it doesn't matter, but greatest QB of all time, possible, unquestionable, with records after this game, if he wins, that's at a fairly young age, too. So it's going to be interesting. I'm definitely not going to miss it. Let's say that. My cooking is all going to be done before the game starts this year because I am not missing this game.
Well, you know, it's you're asking the defense to stop an offense that was first in points in the league, second in total yards, at 415, third in passing yards, at almost 300 a game, and fifth in rushing at 120. So where do you stop them? Yeah.
I don't think they can.
Yeah, but yeah, but Muhammad Sanu, that's also a threat. And then Gabriel, who nobody really thought of this season as somebody that was going to contribute, but he's playing out of his mind. I just don't know where you would stop him. And then on the other side, the Patriots, they had third point at 28 and fourth in total yardage and fourth in passing yardage. With the seventh in rushing. So who's going to stop who so much as a blowout? I don't see that happening at all. It's going to be close. It's going to be close late. And it's going to come down to mental errors.
Yeah, and if their defense, like you said earlier, can't stop New England, if their defense can't stop Atlanta's run game, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. I was looking at some of their stats. Just Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman for the Falcons combined for 85 receptions, 883 yards, and 5 touchdowns this season. That's just 2 people. So you factor in their receivers like Julio Jones and anything that Matt Ryan does on his own, if he can get out of the pocket and gain some yards, if he's quick and thinking on his toes the way he's supposed to be, it's going to be a game. So
yeah,
it's definitely going to be a game.
And you know, the defense of Atlanta, I mean, they are young, but they have some guys in place that can keep them focused in a big game like this. But Big T, that's a guy that's fairly young. But he's a guy that's already shown you he can play well. He can play well in big games. So expect nothing but a good game from him. But Keanu Neal, Carl Allen, Jalen Collins, these guys are going to have to be aware because, like I said, no Gronk. LeGarrette Blount is back there. Deion Lewis is a scat back. So, and we know Belichick likes to utilize everybody on the field. So paying attention to when they make the substitutions. He might even bring in a defensive line to play on the offense and do something with that. Just be engaged, pay attention, and be aware, and then talk to each other. And I think that they'll be able to be able to line up. They'll be able to line up.
Yeah, I've been a lot of the reports I was reading, they're saying that in order for New England to really shut down Atlanta, they're going to need to play basically almost man-to-man deep on the receivers the entire time or close to it just to kind of mess up Matt Ryan's timing because him like Brady are both timing passers. So if they do think they're going to be able to compete with guys like the entire game, Julio Jones, Taylor Gabriel, and Muhammad Sanu, like you mentioned earlier, in man-to-man protection the entire game.
You know, I have to say no. But you know, they have Malcolm Butler out there who was the star of the last time they were here. Patrick Chung, he's been around for a long time, so he has that experience. Logan Ryan, he's a decent player. But I don't see none of these guys being able to stop Julio Jones and man-to-man for a complete game. What? No, that guy is a monster. He's too fast, he's too big, and he runs too good routes for you to be able to stay with him. You're asking too much from these guys from a complete game to try to cover this guy. You're going to have to double-team him. Triple team him, he's going to get his, but I just don't see man-to-man being the way to slow him down for a complete game. How about you? Do you think that's wise for them to do something like that? I mean, I know they might be stuck in a situation they have to, but a complete game, do you see that?
No. I mean, I think it's going to be difficult to go man-to-man the entire game. We both played sports. As much as man-to-man is great, it's tiring. you have to follow every specific move in an entire game, which is a lot of times why you can go into zone to give your defense a little bit of a breather but still have that coverage you need. But this is a Super Bowl, so hopefully they've been training and they're ready, because, I mean, if it comes down to that, you might be tossing a coin after the game, but you better hold on and do your best. So, like you said, with Butler, they could force him into the boundary, help him, like, lighten his workload a little bit, but I don't know. That's man-to-man, an entire game is going to be difficult for anybody.
Yeah, I agree. So who do you have? Do you have a score, or do you just have a somebody you're leaning towards?
I don't have an exact score, because I don't necessarily know if it's going to be a really high-scoring game. I don't think it'll be too high, but I think the Falcons will win by 3. I'm going with the Falcons by 3. What about you?
I think that I agree. I think the Falcons are going to win. I think Atlanta is too hot right now on offense, and with a defensive-minded coach now, they're just more in tune and ready for this. Not saying that the Patriots aren't. I just think that having Gronkowski is going to be big to the game. I think that they haven't been able to use Martellus Bennett the way they should have in the regular season, and it's not going to bode well for them too much. For this, he might have some success, but I don't think he's going to be the reason for them to come out and win. And I just think there's too many weapons on Atlanta's side, on both sides, offense and defense, that can affect this game more than the Patriots. It's going to come down to Tom Brady. I just don't think he has enough this time around. Unless LeGarrette Blount can get off and be that unstoppable force we've seen him in some games. If he can do that and affect the game that way, then it can come down to a field goal. And how do you say no to Gostkowski kicking a field goal at the end of the game?
That's true.
But I don't think that happens. I think Atlanta pulls it out and they win. I see something like 28-24, something like that. As being a score to win this game. You're going to have to score some points, but you're going to have to get some stops late to pull it out, because it's not going to be, you know, a 14-10 game. It's not going to be something like that.
No. Even looking at the stats for the two QBs for the season in comparison to one another, they're close. But Matt Ryan actually has had a better season than Brady. And I know Brady has had a little bit of a shorter season, obviously. But if you go by passing yards per game, even Matt Ryan, he averages 309 per game to Brady's 296. So that just shows how close they are. So it's, man, everybody, we're calling close games, you guys. I'm calling by 3. He says, he's brave enough to pick a score. It says 28-24. So this will be interesting. So let's switch topics for a minute. I saw a interesting title to an article this morning. Well, it's not really interesting for me. Probably more for you, because you're a San Francisco Giants fan. So let's go into the baseball topic here for a quick second.
I know where we're going with this.
you know where I'm going with this.
It was on mine to talk about as well.
Your boy? Would this be your boy, your closer, your reliever, Sergio Romo?
Yeah. But he gave it up last time he was out.
He did, but he was a free agent this year, so he just recently decided to sign a new one-year deal with your best bud on the other side of the state, the LA Dodgers.
Yeah.
This is not the first time you guys have lost a closer to the Dodgers.
No, it's not.
So, how do you guys feel about it? Are you as mad as when the Beard left? Even though, let's be honest, it wasn't the Beard's fault. A lot of fans really, I felt, had that wrong. They gave him a bad rap just because it was the Dodgers that he signed with. But are Giants fans as upset that Romo's gone and then he left for the Dodgers?
You know, from what I'm seeing, a lot of people are saying, get out of here so we can hit bombs off the next season.
Because of that, because of the one, because of the last trip on the mound, they're that bad about that, they don't care. What happened to the Giants' loyalty? And, oh, you guys love your players.
Well, when you don't perform,
he performed, though. I mean, don't get me wrong. You guys were out of the playoffs and went home. But his stats for the season, even in the reduced role, he still posted a 2.98 ERA in 2015 and a 2.64 last year in each case, allowing fewer hits than innings pitched. So his stats weren't that bad. Like, yeah, his last trip on the mound, he probably stung a little bit with your believe-ins or whatever. But he wasn't that bad of a pitcher.
You know, well, you know, and at the same time, it also tells you how he felt, I think. You've been in the middle of that rivalry. You probably did some things back and forth. And that's where you go as a free agent. So is there ill will towards the Giants? Or is it just strictly they have a good team, I can fit in over there? You know, it's some questionable things. They have a name. You just go right to the negative and say, oh, he must not have a problem with this now. So, yeah, screw him. I hope he doesn't do good. We can just hit bombs off him all night. But, you know, you gave the numbers. The numbers don't lie. His season wasn't bad. He just had a bad outing, which some pitchers do. Sometimes it's not your night. Sometimes, you know, the hitters are seeing it. So, more power to them. But, you know, as a semi-baseball fan and a Giants fan, get out of here.
Now, you guys also signed someone back in December. I don't know if you know this. You probably do, even though it's a little bit of old news. But it brings in some newer news. So, Mark Melanchon was signed to the Giants for a 4-year deal, $62 million. We all know that. Now, after that fact, you guys lost to Cias. So, luckily, he's decided to return to his original team, back over on the other side of the day, the Oakland A's. So, you guys see him in the battle of the day. But, hopefully you don't see that W in that game. But, yeah, we'll take him. I'm not mad at that at all. So, but after you guys signed Melanchon, he decided to bring it on home. So, yeah. So that's all I got for some baseball news this morning. I saw that and I had to grab you a little bit. I thought you might find that interesting, being a Giants fan. Getting ready to come into spring training here shortly. We're only a few months away. Was there any other sports news you wanted to talk this morning, Alex? I know this is your favorite time of the year for sports. You've got football and basketball going, so it's always a fun time.
Well, you know, there's a lot going on. The All-Star game is coming for the NBA. So who's who in that? The season that means season's coming down. So who are we looking at for MVP? What teams are going to be doing it? But just something that's circulating today, Rockets celebrate Yao Ming as a Hall of Famer by retiring his jersey.
Nice.
So, you know, congratulations on that. We know what kind of career big Yao Ming was able to have. So, you know, you a big Yao Ming fan?
I'm not a huge fan for or against. I like him, he's all right. But he's never been, like, my favorite player. But he's, I mean, he's hard not to notice, you know what I mean? He's 7 foot. But he always was plagued with the injuries. So I don't think he really got to excel as much as he could have. And then I think you can see a lot of basketball players. So, but it's nice to see him being recognized for that. At the very least, he does, I feel, deserve that. He's held his own for his position, and he was a dominant factor for quite a while.
Yes, he was. Despite having the short career due to the injuries, he was able to affect the game in a way that not a lot were able to with longer. So we give that to him, and that's only we're talking about here in the States, not what he was able to do back in his homeland and how big he is over there. And you know,
oh, he's crazy big over there.
So yeah, the basketball is huge in China. Yao Ming, we love you, brother. He had a good run. And I know you're still right there in the mix of it, trying to change lives still. We were talking about Atlanta. Well, another ex-Atlanta Falcon, Michael Vick, is officially retired now. He says, after not playing this season. So another guy that we can sit here and talk about some of the highlights we can remember of him. Remember a scramble where he made two defenders run into each other because he got through them so quick.
I remember that.
And then getting over to the Pittsburgh Steelers and still being able to run like that and affect the game. So he was a good player, and what he was able to overcome, you know, he was given a second chance after the dogs fighting. I don't even know what it's not a situation. I don't even know what you would call it. Mess, something that was just crazy to hear about. But you know, he got a second chance. He paid his dues, and then he was able to come back and then still have a decent career. So you know, shouts out to him for doing that and then going into the community even after he didn't have to and talking about things and trying to change perspectives and ways of living. So, Michael Vick, good job.
Seriously. Yeah, that was one of the things I respected, I would say, probably the most about him was even after getting in trouble and dealing with his sentence and addressing all of the public with that and all of the backlash that he got with that. And I'm a dog lover, let's be honest. I mean, I am. I'm one of those people that doesn't wear fur and, you know, I have two dogs and they're white kids or probably treated better. So it was hard to hear that story. But he was treated extremely poorly for very long. And even after he tried to come back from that and do everything he was told to do to be okay, he went above and beyond that and continued to do that. And even after still continuing to get that that poor treatment over and over, he still continued. So definitely give him a salute, because he there are many people who would have given up being treated in the way that he was after that, and how bad he could have just said forget it and didn't, and kept on, because he knew he was wrong, and he made his amends. So good luck on your retirement, sir. Hopefully it's better days.
And then switching over to, you know, we were talking about basketball and the All-Star game happening. One of the things that first came out when they were coming out with the starters was that everybody was upset that Russell Westbrook didn't get the nod to start. You know, this is a guy who has, at that time, he had, I believe, 21 triple-doubles or something like that when that came out. Whatever. Who cares who starts the All-Star game? I really don't, as a fan. You're there. People are going to see you. But, you know, as a player, do you really care about starting? I know when I played, I didn't really care about starting. It was all about, was I on the court at the end of the game when it mattered? To me, that was more important. So, some people care. Some people don't. But what we do care about is how he's been able to play. And last night, he had yet another triple-double, which brings him up to 25 in the season. He had 38 points, 13 rebounds, and 12 assists. But the good thing about it is you're seeing this guy with really not a lot of help affecting the game every way possible, every single night. We haven't really seen this. A consistent guy scoring triple doubles since, well, I haven't seen it. If you're listening out there and you've seen it, you're probably older than me. And I'm talking about Oscar Robertson, who averaged a triple double for a season. We haven't really seen a guy do that. And to see another point guard do that, I can just imagine what those who know and saw Oscar Robertson, what they were experiencing. Because to me, I'm flattered every time I see the stat line and I see another triple-double. And they're not just the 10, 11, and 11. They're actual numbers. He's putting up, he's grabbing boards, he's getting a dish in the ball out, and he's scoring. So what more do you want from a guy who lost his key player in Kevin Durant, but is able to come out every night and do this and still keep his team right for the hunt for the playoffs?
Yeah, it's not many, and he's definitely he likes to make waves on and off court. So it's good to see that he doesn't need a squad of three, four big men in order to compete. And it almost feels like that's kind of what the league is becoming now. Like, nobody really wants to just stand on their own and be that player. And he reminds me of watching basketball when I was a kid and what made me really love the game to begin with, because it's one of the few people that you see play with that intensity all the time. Whether you like him or not, you can appreciate the way he plays the game.
And that's funny that you say that, because, you know, they were interviewing Coach Billy Donovan of the Thunder after the game, and he was talking about that, how people are looking at the numbers and not what's actually going on. And he, you know, I'm going to quote him right now, and he says, this is what I'm saying. People write so much about his triple doubles, his numbers, his stats, his minutes, his usage, and all that other stuff. But I really think people miss it. They really miss it. Those things are remarkable and incredible, and I'm not undervaluing what he's done statistically. But it's the constant awareness of what's going on in the game. It's surveying things. It's recognizing what's happening. So,
yeah, his basketball IQ is ridiculous.
And you're getting to, and you know, as sad as it is to see that Kevin Durant left, And didn't they trying to get a championship together? Well, what you're getting to see is another side of his game. You know, you would see him shooting at the wrong time, you would think, and not giving it to Kevin Durant. But now you're starting to see his IQ is higher than people thought. He's affecting the game. He's keeping his teammates involved. He's on the defensive end. If you have a young kid that wants to play, this is a guy that you want your child, boy or girl, to emulate on the court. Because he comes out every night hungry on both ends of the court. And he attacks. And he sacrifices.
Absolutely. Would you – I just had a question, and it just escaped my mind. I was going to ask you. All right, I'm drawing a blank, so we'll move on to the next question. if you still have a basketball, we can go into that, or we can take a quick commercial break.
We can go ahead and take a quick break.
All right. We'll be back here in just a minute, folks. Stay tuned.
Does the media ever deceive the public?
A white plane, a very big jet, was flying in an unusual pattern near the White House over Lafayette Park. Very slowly, it made one circle and then...
Are the media and their sources trustworthy?
New York State and New Jersey will get their first doses of the swine flu vaccine.
The H1N1 virus has made thousands of people across the country sick. Many have died. And some worry that it could grow into a full-blown pandemic.
Where does our mainstream media get their news? All this enjoyment is brought to you by all the things that with NutriSweet.
There's a reason why we want to own these guys.
We're going to have to come together and take meaningful action to prevent more tragedies like this.
That was President Obama Friday suggesting it is now time to reopen the national debate on gun control.
The media tends to march in lockstep with the government.
Who is responsible when the media fabricates the news?
When the public is constantly fed messages that are potentially leading us into a war that may not be necessary, it's not fair to the American people, and it's not fair to journalism, because the truth isn't being told here. We found out that CNN International is actually making money from the Bahrain regime. They are a customer of Bahrain. Bahrain is paying CNN International to create content that shows Bahrain in a favorable light, to then air that content on CNN International.
Join us online at williamlewisfilms.com. That's williamlewisfilms.com.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at serenityrug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's serenityrug.com.
Did you know most Americans know nothing or very little about the legal system? I am the Rose Colombo, longtime legal activist, legal coach, legal advocate, and the author of Fight Back Legal Abuse, Irwin Award winner, and also my latest political satire, Obamacare Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals, a political satire exposing the evil agendas of Obamacare and redistribution of wealth that leaves you with a thought-provoking ending. Will mankind survive, or will the U.S. natural-born citizen become extinct? It's available at Amazon.com. You can also visit my website at www.fightbacklegalabuse.com for more information. So order your copy today and empower yourself with knowledge before injustices come knocking on your back door unexpectedly.
Are you sick of being a chump, lied to by politicians and businessmen alike, watching as the world slowly burns, as trillions of debts racked up under your grandchildren's names? Hi, I'm Ben Lucifer Bernanke Cochran. I'm asking that you tune into my weekly radio show, The Patriot Power Hour with Lucifer Bernanke, each Thursday night at 6 p.m. Eastern on Freedomizer Radio. Look, I'm not trying to sell you anything here. I just need your help fighting these banks of scum. They're sick of fans, they're behind all the wars, failed healthcare system. I mean, they own all the mega banks, all the mega corporations. They own the media, of course. They've already conquered most of humanity, really. And their juiciest final target. Well, we're next. America's next. So I'm not going out without a fight. So join me Thursday as I use my background in finance and risk management to decode breaking news and developments, all while helping to prepare you and your family for the future waves of financial terrorism that are sure to come. Thursday nights, 6 p.m. Eastern, only on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Got a spare tire around that waist? Is your muffin top over the top? Do you binge eat uncontrollably? We are the government and we are here to help you. Here at our free FEMA weight loss camp, we have numerous ways to help you shed those unsightly, unwanted pounds. FEMA, or Fatties, Eating Mitigated, automatically has a communist-style weight loss czar that specializes in centralized weight loss planning and communal extended fasting programs to shed that fat away in no time. Skin and boned means extra toned is the motto. Just remember, there is no way you can do it on your own. We will forcefully assist you into compliance. Failure is not an option in this utopian wonderland. How fantastic! Typical workout regimes include digging ditches and restocking them with dirt, building railways and more. Get life skills while you get lean. How do you join? Simple. Recite the Constitution in a public commons or violate the Patriot Act that includes simple misdemeanors. It's really that easy to get your own fenced-in slice of Americana. Stop being a fatty. The state is your daddy.
All right. Welcome back.
Yeah, I'm over back. I'm over here talking. No mute button.
I know. I didn't think I could hear myself either.
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. So, yes, you're back here with the last segment of Ready, Set, Sports. I'm Alex here with SC.
Good morning.
A cold open, just, you know, getting our bearings. Seeing how everything flows together here with this new show we have going. And it seems to be going pretty good. There were some difficulties, but we've ironed them out a little bit. But, you know, we're learning as we go, kind of jumping in the deep end.
Working through, yep. Sink or swim.
So, you know, I was going to talk about LeBron James, the Cleveland Cavaliers, needing to get another big man. That's kind of what they're looking for right now. And we can kind of talk about it a little bit. Really more what I want to talk about, the two things I want to talk about. I want to talk about LeBron and Charles Barkley and Gregory Green now. And then I want to get your take on sports and politics before we head out of here. But recently, Charles Barkley was on the FBA and had some words or a take on LeBron James that he thought was personal, but I don't think it was personal. But he took offense to it, and then LeBron James actually got personal with his comeback. So what Charles Barkley said was that the Cavaliers that they've done pretty much everything that LeBron James has wanted, and he shouldn't be complaining about. He shouldn't be complaining about anything because one, they have the highest payroll in the NBA. They handpicked pretty much the guys that he was wanting to get there. And now he's seeing that they need another point guard and a big man. I mean, how many guys do you want to win? You can't have everybody. He's trying to get Carmelo trying to get over there, and he's trying to get what would they call him, who looks like he might be, or even or Andrew Bogut. So, do they need that many players now? I don't think so. But that's what he was saying, that you have the players that you wanted already. Why complain now to get more? Just win with the guys you have. And LeBron James didn't like that, so he came back and said, well, you know, Charles Barkley shouldn't be talking about it because LeBron James has never spit on anybody. He's never said he's not a role model. Basically, he just went back and researched all the bad things Charles Barkley did while he was playing and then came out and said he didn't do those things and listed those, which I think is about as a matter of fact, you talk about sport.
Right. I agree. But what? I'm not a LeBron fan. I'll be the first to admit that. So what makes you think he takes such offense to people having negative things to say about him? This is not the first time for LeBron. There's been video clips showing him leaving games and literally stopping to shoot regular people dirty looks who have called him a name or didn't like him. So what makes you think it gets under his skin so easily that he reacts? It's gotten so big on this that he's even gotten other people like Draymond Green commenting and bashing Charles Barkley over it.
Yeah, I think it's the new era of basketball where they don't understand or feel like they should be talked about negatively by anybody that's not playing at that current time. Draymond Green's comments were, well, Charles Barkley should be talking because he hasn't won a championship. Shaq can talk about it. Ernie Johnson talked about it, which I don't understand that part, but Kenny Smith can talk about it, but Charles Barkley, since he hasn't won a championship, he shouldn't be able to talk about a champion or anybody that's won a championship. Which, you know, that sounds petty, and it sounds kind of small-minded to me because you're still a basketball player. And actually, when you're as good of a basketball player as Charles Barkley was, you can talk about pretty much whatever you want.
I agree.
It's not his fault he played in the era of Michael Jordan. Because if Michael Jordan played now, nobody would have a championship with the way the league is now and what you're able to do on.
And he also played in the era where they didn't have three or four superstars on one team all the time. There was only maybe one team that did it. And even that was later in his career when the Bulls ended up having him or Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman, and several people to just dominate everybody. So Barkley was doing kind of on his own for a team, and he still held
his own. Until the late in his career, he went and joined the Rockets and Hakeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler. And then he went to the Suns. But, yeah, for most of his career, he was. You know, back then, this is a whole topic for another discussion. It was just better players all around in that era. I don't like the whole championships. If you don't have any, you shouldn't be able to talk about it. That's kind of odd to me because, in my opinion, If there was no Charles Barkley, there wouldn't be no Draymond Green. Who's a big man, good rebounder, was able to shoot a three, take somebody off the server, play good defense, and have a bad attitude? That was Charles Barkley. So where did you get your game from?
Right.
Who did you emulate when you were a kid?
Who were you watching?
Yeah. It's hard for you not to say that it wasn't Charles Barkley because you played just like he did. So I'm sorry. I don't agree with that. He should take a seat in this conversation, I believe. But hey, I haven't had a championship. I'm playing the NBA, so maybe I shouldn't even be talking, according to him. But here I am. I still am.
Hey.
But as far as the Cavaliers needing anybody, I don't think they need anybody. Kevin Love is hurt. If he can come back, he can affect games. I think it's funny, you know, that LeBron was complimenting Carmelo Anthony and scoring 25 in a quarter, talking about most guys can't do that. And here he's saying that he needs more people, but he has a guy like Kevin Love who's scored 25 in a quarter this season. It's kind of odd, but maybe he's forgetting that because he's injured. And J.R. Smith is a three-point threat. So, and they just got Kyle Korver. So I don't really know what he's asking for unless he just wants a more stacked team so it'll be a little easier for him in the long run. But the team that he has to be able to win. I'm sorry. That's my opinion. I need to. I think I already know.
All right. Well, on another basketball note, we're going to switch teams and players. We're going to go to a positive comment. Steph Curry, who news today says that he did not compete in the 2016 Olympics in Rio. He does, in fact, plan to rejoin Team USA in the World Cup in 2019 in China and the Olympics in Tokyo in 2020. Do you think this is a early announcement, being it's a few years away, or is it just that he's throwing it out there saying he wants to make sure his name is involved in that talk as soon as it begins? Because obviously, you know, teams don't form the year of. They decide these things a little bit earlier than that. So do you think this is a little early, or he's just that excited to be a part of a USA team again?
I think he's probably had his mind made up after the fact, or even then. Like, man, I really wanted to play, but I was injured. And, you know, it was a right decision and not to play. Coming off of it and just, you know, just getting a little bit more healthy. But I think he's already excited. You know, he might have just got to ask a question earlier when they were talking about it. But I think him saying that it's early kind of tells you that he really wanted to play the last time around when he had the opportunity. So it's exciting for everyone that missed him out there. Here you go. He's coming.
All right, and I have one more question for you, just because I'm reading through this and knowing that you're a Lakers fan. I figure this might be an interesting fun fact for you. Everybody knows you didn't have a long-time rival with the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hiding that. Now, you guys have gone back and forth in many issues, but the Celtics just took the all-time NBA lead in wins, taking that first place title. So as a Lakers fan, how you feeling?
Joe, it burns a little bit. You know, as big as that rivalry has been, you know, that when I got to the mix of being a Lakers fan, that was it. It was Lakers Celtics. So, you know, I grew up disliking them. And the season hasn't had success. You know, it digs a little bit. But one of my favorite players in the league right now is Isaiah Thomas, who plays for the Celtics. So, you know, I kind of like what they're doing over there. They have a young team. The Lakers have a young team as well, but have flashes of showing some success in the long run. But as quickly as the family comes down to it, no, you don't like the fact that they just took the lead. You want the quickly to go ahead and do something about it. Yeah.
Now, obviously, you know, we could be having this talk again tomorrow if the Celtics lose and the Lakers win.
Exactly.
Because another tidbit of this little fact is that the Lakers have always either held this title or shared this all-time NBA title since the 2000-2001 season. So that just shows Lakers lose to the Lakers.
Yeah.
Even when they don't make the playoffs and win the championship, you guys have always had a strong presence in basketball.
Yeah. What would the NBA be without the Lakers? What would the NFL be without the Raiders? You know, I'm just a story guy to my fandom. But you know, just getting back to the Lakers, you know, one thing that they have missing is that success. And with Kobe gone, you just had that big question mark, who's going to be that guy? They've had some success in the draft, but you're still trying to see and trying to wait. Because you don't want to put it on these guys too soon. Because I don't know who he's going to give it to. He might not be there right now, but they just have to get back to that excellence. And one of those things is getting rid of Jim Buss. You like the man that is back in some role of trying to help his team get back to that. I think getting Jim Buss out of there, his sister's going to have to do that. And get somebody in there to help her have an actual basketball mind and not just say, well, you're my brother and I have to keep you here. She has to make a move soon to get us back in the playoffs and on that championship role.
I agree. You guys can't go too long without making the playoffs. It's been a long time coming as it is. It was hard to watch Kobe at the end and not see them in that highlight capacity that you're so accustomed to seeing the Lakers be in on a regular basis. So hopefully they turn it around. I'm not even a Lakers fan, but that's all right. I'll cheer for you nonetheless. You guys don't really affect my team too much. This is playoff. So we've got a few minutes here. We can get into a couple of last-minute topics or what you got on your mind before we wrap up here. We've got the Barefoot is Legal show coming in at 10:30 right after us.
You know, don't really have too much. You know, one of the things I was reading this morning is should Mark Davis sell the team? If you've been following this nonsense with the team, he's been trying to get them sold or get them to move to Vegas. But Goldman Sachs pulled out, another billionaire tycoon in Vegas has pulled out, the Alderson family. So now they're left shaking their head on you. And a lot of people are saying that he butchered the chance to get them to Vegas. And what next? Because they don't have nothing to fall back on right now. They could be left to do what they did last time and spend $4 million in rent for a season at the Coliseum because nothing else is in place right now. So it's hard for me to think of a David not owning the team, but somebody needs to get in there and help this guy lead him to the right direction. It was a good idea bringing in Reggie McKenzie. We've seen what he's been able to do as the first actual general manager, but that was from the help of John Madden. John Madden had to have a more prominent role in the organization to help out. But then you have to look at his age. He's not getting any younger. He's up there, and what can he do day to day? But something has to change, and it has to change fast because the season is coming.
That's true. And quick, and you guys are not going to have a stadium. I mean, there needs to be a plan at least take place, especially if there's going to be building involved, because the longer it goes, the less time you have a home. It was surprising to see Vegas blow up so fast when it seemed like it was such a possibility for Oakland. And it was almost like he tried to shoot himself in the foot and maybe forced to stay. I don't know. Maybe he really knows what he's doing, and we don't realize it yet. Maybe he has a master plan. Do you think he's just like his dad?
You know, I think you know, really, his dad was amazing. His dad got old and set that way. He didn't really want to help. He was used to being successful, being that guy. Like you said earlier before, he the guy was a big reason for the murder. So I think what the problem is, in my opinion, with Mark Davis is that he wants his own legacy. He doesn't want to continue the legacy of his father. He wants to have his own name talked about throughout the halls of the NFL and possibly get a bust.
Do you think he can do that with being the Oakland Raiders, or maybe that is the partial reason why he's pushing for maybe a move versus just a new stadium in Oakland? I know that's not entirely up to him when Oakland's not really trying to give them the new home, but if that's really what he's looking for, can he do that in Oakland?
I think he could get that same recognition, that same love by doing what's necessary. Keeping the team who they are, where they are, and just bringing them more into the modern time. Getting a stadium somehow, some way. Bringing in some technology. Bringing more and better guys to the facility. Bringing the staff to be top-notch like it used to be. Doing it that way and keeping the legacy going and uplifting it from the dark ages that it's been in can do the same thing. But maybe he doesn't understand that. Maybe he just doesn't have the people around him that are explaining that to him. But something... I'm nervous as a Raiders fan because I don't know what's next. I see an astronomical amount of rent for another season is what's going to happen. But other than that, everything's on the table. Carson City's on the table. Sharing stadium with the Niners is on the table. Everything's on the table, I think, except for moving to San Diego. I heard some people say, well, what about bringing them to San Diego? If they can keep the Chargers, how are they going to be able to keep the Raiders when it's, when they've been riding the road?
Well, I think on that note, we're going to start to wrap up our show. We have the Barefoot is Legal show coming in your live in just a few minutes to discuss all your barefoot legal rights. And hopefully next week we'll have some more football news, some highlights from the Super Bowl, and maybe the Raiders will have a home by then. Who knows? So thanks everybody for tuning in and listening. I'm your sports girl SG, and with me is Al X. Tune in live next Saturday from 9 to 10:30 Pacific Standard Time for Ready Set Sports.